May God help us. May God help us. Praise the Lord. But Christ was born. Oh. Jesus was born. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. Can we read it? Amen. What did he say? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name who? Shall call his name who? Emmanuel. Did that prophecy come to pass? According to history, it came to pass 700 years after. 700 years after it came to pass. And his name shall be called who? Meaning what? Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? He is God with us. Why did he have to come through the virgin birth? Why did he have to come through the virgin birth? If you get to know why he had to come through the virgin birth, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then you will understand why he made that statement in John chapter 14 as he gave up the ghost hanging on the cross. It is finished. Then you will understand why we cannot be in bondage again. What did he come for? He came for our redemption. He came for our redemption. Praise the Lord. The mystery of salvation is deep and very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. I want to reserve what I want to say now because it is a message to have time to preach. Last night, this scripture became more meaningful again to me. Romans chapter 8. Amen. In Romans chapter 8, verse 19 and verse 20. In fact, let me read from verse 18. Apostle Paul, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Which shall be revealed in us. Future. There is a glory that shall be revealed in us. But we are suffering. But this suffering that we are suffering now cannot be compared with the glory that is ahead. Apostle Paul said, the eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither is it put in the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love his appearing. There's something glorious that is waiting for us. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And who are these sons of God? It is we in the millennial reign. It is the children of God in the millennium. Now, verse 20 is my emphasis. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same to hope. I was meditating on this scripture and I found out that the mystery of redemption is deeper than we know. God, listen, God had determined that he was going to put man that will live on this earth eternally. Man will live on this earth eternally. But before that man, that eternal man, the man that will have eternal life, that he will create and make him, have him live eternally, before that time will come, He decided to do what I use my language to call testing, testing. Otherwise known as shadows. Shadows. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2 that the law, the Old Testament, is a shadow of the things to come. Everything in the Old Testament was speaking of something real coming up, and it is about Christ and the church. So, when God made Adam, according to verse 20 of Romans chapter 8, when God made Adam, he designed Adam and Eve to fall. That is the mystery. So when Satan came and was tempting them to fall, he didn't know. And God did not stop him. Oh, glory be to God. God did not stop him. God even designed the serpent and brought him closer to that family. And allowed Satan, who was there, referred to as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He is that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The source of death. There is the source of life. And the source of life are the words of God. And he left them there. But he knew that he created them and subjected them to vanity. God himself subjected them, giving them hope. Since man fell from Adam, man has been looking up to some day, to some time, when we shall be restored again back to Garden of Eden. Praise the Lord. I've made some statements here, and especially enter message believers who don't believe that any other person can have revelation in this age apart from what William Branham left behind. And I say you will remain as dead as those denominations who refuse any further light after the message of their day. I said something here when I was preaching some time ago. I said, I believe with the whole of my heart that no man, nobody can defeat the purpose of God. I believe it with the whole of my heart that God created a place where he will meet with man and drop Adam there, from where he will repopulate, replenish the earth, but his abode will be in that garden that we know today as the Garden of Eden. East. It is a garden east of Eden. It is a garden. Where is the location of that garden? It is located in the east of Eden. And Satan did what he did there, and God drove man away from that place, from that garden. Now, it will look as if Satan has succeeded now. God put man here. I can't drive and come out. Then, time came, the whole world was swept away by the flood of Noah. Time came when the whole world had to be rearranged again. Because at the time of Adam and Eve, there were no oceans. There were no big rivers like this. At the time of Adam and Eve, there was no rain. At the time, until after the flood of Noah, when some of the water were taken up, some went to wherever they are, and the little land that is left, a man is inhabiting. So it means the location of where that garden is, only God knows after the shaking of the world. I believe with the whole of my heart that that location is Jerusalem. If not, why particularly that place? Why is Satan particularly after that place? Why will the temple be built in that place? And remember, who is Christ? Christ is known as the last Adam. The first Adam was removed from a place, the last Adam will be placed back there to to tell Satan, you cannot defeat my purpose. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I see one key in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let me read it from verse 7. I'll read it up to verse 12, I believe. He said, but your eyes, that is, you know, Deuteronomy, they have left Egypt to the promised land. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore, shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land wherein ye go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swear unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence you came out, where thou sowest thy seed and watered it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys and drinking water of the rain of heaven. It's a special rain it receives. And verse 12, my emphasis. A land which the Lord thy God careth. For the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Constantly watching over that land. There is an interest he has in that land. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Therefore, I see God playing a script. Has it occurred to you why the son of promise, Isaac, that he gave Abraham in his old age, one day he just stood up and told Abraham, take thy son, thy only son, Isaac. He was very, very specific. And go and offer him to me for a sacrifice. It was not going to dedicate him to God. He's going to kill him the way they make sacrifice of goats. Because he took wood, he didn't take oil. Now wood he take. That means he was going to make a fire, kill him, and burn him with a fire. And when Abraham obeyed, he was about to do that, he stopped him and said, I have provided me my sacrifice. Praise the Lord. What is that game God was playing? He was not playing a game. He was trying to look at how his only begotten son, if a man can offer his own, he too he will offer his own. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so it is possible that he will do it. Now we speak faith there, but brother, you can preach that faith so much. The only son he has, of course, we knew he had Ishmael, but remember that God had told him that he should take Ishmael, take him away. So he was left with only one son, and that is the son of promise. Praise the Lord. That God himself, he will make it look as if you are helping God to do anything, you are wasting your time. Don't do the one you feel to and leave the rest. He is in charge of the agenda. Hallelujah. Adam and Eve were created purposely to fall. The fall of Adam and Eve did not take God by surprise. He planned it. He planned it to see a setting. Hallelujah. And the food, and while that setting was on, amen, immediately they fell in the Garden of Eden. Immediately, verse 15 of Genesis chapter 3, he pronounced judgment and he spoke about the seed of the woman. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. He said, the serpent, you have a seed. Amen. And the woman also has a seed. And the seed of the serpent shall bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, and the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the seed of the serpent. Oh, praise the Lord. When was the feet of the seed of the woman bruised? Or who is the seed of the woman? That is the virgin birth. It's not the seed of Joseph. It's the seed of the woman. Joseph did not pregnant Mary. Before he touched her, the woman don't get belly. Praise the Lord. And quickly, while he was thinking of putting her away, the angel of the Lord came and said, "Don't worry. You are not the father of this child. The father of this child is who? It's the Holy Ghost." Matthew 1:18 says so. The father of this child is the Holy Ghost. Who is the father of Jesus? Who is the father of Jesus? Who is the son of the Holy Ghost? Jesus is the son of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is his father. So anytime you say, the son says, "My father, my father, my father," who is he referring to? Is he referring to a third person? Is he referring to a second person? The Holy Ghost and the Father is the same one he's talking about. Praise the Lord. Therefore, knock off Trinity. There's nothing like that. By the marriage of idolatry with Christianity. Because they had different gods. There is the God for this, God for fertility, God for harvest, God for war, God for everything, God. And they saw Father, saw Holy Ghost in the Bible of Christians. Therefore, Father is another one, Son is another one, the Holy Ghost is another one. And those who are not able to interpret the scriptures and the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That is Trinity, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. And no matter how anointed that song is, it does not make it right. It is not God in three persons, blessed Trinity. It is God in Christ Jesus, blessed unity. Unity. One. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. For Christ is the image of the invisible God. Praise the Lord. And so, it is nothing but an agenda that God himself knew. The perfect Adam is on the way, coming. This Adam is subject to vanity. This Adam that I created will fall. Nothing now. Ordinary sand. This one will live, cannot live eternally. Adam did not have eternal life in him. But, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there is the last Adam that is coming. He's not referred to as the second Adam. He's referred to as the last Adam. Because after him, there will be none again. And he came according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He is, can we read it? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I think verse 45. And so it is written. Are we there? And so it is written. The first Adam, the first man, Adam, was made what? A living soul. The last Adam was made what? A quickening spirit. Then he added, "How be it that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual." The first man is of the earth. Earth is made of sand. It's made of sand. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earth, such are they also that are earth. We that he gave birth to. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. We that he, the heavenly one, produced. And we, and as we have borne the image of the earthy Adam, he said, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Praise the Lord. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Now if you meditate on what Apostle Paul is speaking here, then you will understand why Jesus Christ in John chapter 3 said, except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom. Except you are born of the Spirit and of water, you cannot enter the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why did he say so? Because the first creation was condemned. It necessitated a second creation. That's why we must be born again. Like we are living on earth now, because we are born by the earthy father. Our father that we will be born again from will be a heavenly father, so that we too can be heavenly beings. Oh, praise the Lord. So that he will not be earthy, his origin is directly from heaven, bam, to the earth, through that virgin birth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is why, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. The only reason, the hope of resurrection, is verse 11 of Romans chapter 8. If the Spirit that raised up Christ dwell in you, he will quicken your body. Praise the Lord. He will quicken your body. Quicken, quicken your body. You must be born of the Spirit. We are supposed to be new creature. Hallelujah. We are subject to hope. There's something we are hoping for, to get out of this body of flesh and put on incorruption. Put on eternal life. For flesh and blood will not enter the kingdom. Angels don't have blood. And we are going to put on angelic bodies. Hey, we shall be spirit beings. Hey, praise God. Have you ever sat down to see that in the age to come, we will not need cars to move? You don't see angels, they drive motor. Eh? God will just send them to America. Phew, he's there in America. To your village. Phew, he's there. Phew, he's back again. When you see vision where God will say, come, let me show you something. When they enter motor, he will carry your spirit. Fee, Sila, my daughter, follow me. Hoocha. Now him it is. That's your husband. Hoocha. They carry you again. In the right motor, in the right aeroplane, that is how we shall live. That is how we shall live. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why we came to this earth with nothing. We are going back with nothing. Nothing. Anything we have here just to satisfy this flesh. When you die, you leave everything here. That's why he said, why shall it profit a man? You get the whole world and you lose your soul. Listen, church, you must be born again by the Spirit of Christ. That is the reason why. In Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, can we read it? Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. We cannot get that scripture. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Listen, this is his identification. This is his honor. And his name shall be called, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. What is government? Authority. And where will that government authority be upon his shoulder? In the soon coming kingdom, when we shall reign on earth here for 1,000 years. Do you imagine that it's possible for a human being to live 1,000 years? We are not only living 1,000 years, we are going to live eternally. Eternal age has no end. Praise God. Okay, let's read on. Hallelujah. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his identification, his name, shall be called what? What is wonderful? Wonderful, that is miracle worker. Did he do it? Is he still doing it? Eh? He's a miracle worker. Hallelujah. The second name will be what? Counselor. So, when he died on the cross, he shouted, "It is finished." And he did what? He gave up the ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of Christ is a counselor. He's the one that counsels you. He's the one that leads you to all truth. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the one that guides you. So if you receive the Holy Ghost, you have received the Spirit of Christ. The mighty God. Why will he be called the mighty God? Because he is Emmanuel. The fullness of the Godhead dwell in him bodily. Praise the Lord. Until Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, he said, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. He said, God was manifest in the flesh. Who did he say? God was manifest in the flesh. The creator of the heavens and the earth was manifest in the flesh. Oh, the creator! He broke it down. 1 Timothy 3:16. God was manifest in the flesh. He was seen of angels. He was justified in the spirit. When was he justified in the spirit? Hallelujah. He says, this is my beloved son. Justified in the spirit, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Let's read on. 1 Timothy 3:16. He was seen of angels. He stood there, and the day he was taken up, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here guessing? This same Jesus is he going? He will come back again. He was at the grave. The sisters came in the morning, Sunday morning. He told them, what are you looking for? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He was seen of angels. Preach unto the Gentiles by the apostles, and we received him. Believed on in the world, and we are still believing him till now. Who are we believing? God. Who was taken up to glory? God. Who was manifest in the flesh? God. And received up in glory. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Revelation chapter 1 tells us he is the Almighty God. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. So you see, when they were slapping him, they didn't know they were slapping their creator. When they were kicking him, they didn't know that if God was, oh, glory be to God. Verse 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it said, God is Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. Which wisdom? The wisdom that God used to come to earth and collect his people. Which power? The power to change a sinner to a saint is in Christ Jesus. The power to cast out devil is in Christ Jesus, because he is given a name that is above every name. At the mention of his name, every knee bow. He said, they that believe in him, this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. He is the power of God. That mention of that name, because that name is the name of the Father, the name of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Let's go back to where we were reading before we came to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Where were we reading? Where were we reading? Ahem. Isaiah chapter 6, chapter 9 verse 6. Chapter 9 verse 6. That's what we are reading. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. Where did we reach? Counselor. His name shall be called what? The next one is Counselor, the Mighty God. Then, this is why I came to this scripture. He will be called the Everlasting Father. And what? The Prince of Peace. Why is he called the Everlasting Father? Because it is through him we were produced. Now, if Adam were alive today, if he did not die, what will we be referring to Adam? What will we be referring to him? Our father now. You won't even call him Adam. You are calling him Adam now because the man fell. If you don't say the thing where you did suffer, now your papa calls him. Anytime you remember, you say, you are the suffer. Now my papa will preach around and come this morning and make all the suffer. What did he be named? They say, no, babe, see, they call and say, I don't even know. Some people go and change their son name out of anger. But the truth is our papa would have been saying, Papa, Papa Adam, Papa, Papa Adam, is he not? But he lost it, we all died. Until Christ came and got us regenerated, born again. Hallelujah. So, in the millennium, amen, he will be our father. Everlasting Father, because he gave birth to us in this new creation. Jesus is our Father. That is the position. And he's the Prince of Peace, because when he comes to earth to rule, there shall be peace. There shall be peace on earth. It's the source of peace. When you receive him, you receive peace. And when you be coming to earth, there shall be peace, because Satan and him cannot rule at the same time. Satan will be in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and there shall be peace on earth. Praise the Lord. And the purpose why Christ came was to settle the matter that happened in the Garden of Eden, and to bring us back again to Eden. And he will be ruling from Jerusalem, where the Garden of Eden was. That is God's meeting point with man. And therefore, I want you to notice, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The glory departed from the Garden of Eden, and it came back again. As Christ was coming out of that water, that glory came back. And we didn't see that glory come anywhere else. Hallelujah. It was when that temple was built in Jerusalem, Solomon's temple, that glory came back. But when they messed up, Ezekiel saw that glory leaving the temple through the eastern gates. And then Ichabod was written. The glory of the Lord had departed. That glory never came back again until the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, when God came back in that glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that glory went back with him to heaven. And came back to the church on the day of Pentecost. And that glory is still here now with us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you are not a Christian, then what are you celebrating Christmas for? There won't be a Christmas. Christmas, a mass unto Christ, even by the Catholics. There will be redemption if he didn't come. So it's not just celebrate his coming, but celebrate the purpose of his coming. And not just celebrate it, you celebrate it because you are a partaker of that purpose. You are a beneficiary of his coming. If not, what are you celebrating? What are you celebrating Christmas when you are not a Christian? And who is a Christian? Not a member of a church, but a member of the body of Christ. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And how do you become a member of the body of Christ? By one baptism, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. One spirit are we baptized into the body. And if you have not received the Holy Ghost, you are none of his. You are not yet in that number, saved by grace. That is the meaning of grace. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what? As the year is ending, I challenge everybody, including myself. Hallelujah. It's time, the year is ending. Always know we're getting closer to the end of time. We're getting closer to God rounding up that program that he started at the Garden of Eden. The last Adam has come. And he gave an agenda. It will last for 7 church ages. At the end of it all this program will be rounded up. And the interesting thing about it all is the process by which he will use to cleanse the earth, to get it ready for us to come. Oh, glory be to God. It is called the day of the Lord. While it looks glorious to us, because when it will happen, we will be in the rapture. But I'm telling you, Apostle Paul says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. For God is a consuming fire. And in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, Apostle Peter told us how everything you see will be destroyed by fire. And he gave the certainty. He said the same words that were spoken by God of old concerning the world being destroyed by water. And it came to pass. The same words again are spoken that this earth will be destroyed by fire. But as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. People don't believe it. That one day rain of fire will burn. And the Bible tells us, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Open Revelation chapter 6. Open it, just see something. Revelation chapter 6. That is the judgment of a nation. Revelation chapter 6. And I'll read it. Praise the Lord. From verse 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth sea, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as blood. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Even as a fig tree casted her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll. And the stars, verse 13, of heaven fell unto the earth. Let me read it again, verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as a sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Take note, the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casted her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? And this takes place after the rapture. In Matthew 24, he said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be dark. The moon will not give her light. It's the same thing that John saw in the Isle of Patmos. I say this for you to know, that if you miss the rapture, you are finished. And that's why I continue to say it. Amen. That those proponents of foolish virgins having a second chance after the rapture by our interpretation of Revelation chapter 20 verse 4 that they fall within one of those categories, I disagree totally according to my understanding of the scriptures, because even if you preach that, You even allow some people to relax. That there is a hope after the rapture. That they will pay with their blood. Let me tell you, there is nothing for you to relax. Listen, even as Catholics teach the people that there is a purgatory somewhere, so that you can have hope of a second chance. Salvation has no second chance. You pay because you are foolish. It's not enough that you are a virgin. You must be wise. There must be an understanding. And the Bible says, only the wise shall understand. After he stands up. He stands up from where? From the mercy seat. Salvation is over for us. No mercy again. Where do they get the mercy from? There is no more blood on the mercy seat. There is no more high priest interceding for you and God. And more importantly, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, he shut the door. And I didn't see where he opened that door again. And in Luke chapter 14, I only saw where he said, you come knocking, and he will say from within, I never knew you. And I said, where did he know them? In the streets of Galilee? In your church? Through your tithe and offering? No, he knew them from the foundation of the world. They are those whose names are written in the book of life. And he didn't gamble in putting anybody's name in the book of life. He knows those who will be saved, and know those who will be foolishly going to church and just be enough, no revelation, nothing, and don't remain in their denominations. I am telling you that once you miss the rapture as a Gentile, his salvation is over for the Gentile. He moves with the Jews. The door of salvation is closed. And I have told you that I am telling you that if you have ever traveled, it's a perfect time of the journey from earth to glory. If you have ever traveled overseas, there is a time, hallelujah, there is a time you must be at the airport. There is a time you must be at the airport. I'm talking of international flights especially. I'm not talking, there is a time to check in. There is a time to check in. My wife is here this morning. I reminded you, you are traveling out of the country tomorrow. I said, your flight, they said at 7 o'clock, 5 a.m., day for airport, oh. If they check in and you come at the check-in counter, the time for check-in is gone. They close the counter. When you come, I go see who will open it for you. When there's nobody to attend to you there. But the flight has not taken off. Praise the Lord. Because there is another move with those who have checked in. The last time I traveled out of the country, I noticed this, the woman that checked me in, just before we entered the plane, I saw her there again. And she said, oh, we meet again. I said, are you not the one that checked us in? And he said, yes, I have also come now to check you here. I said, who did that? And I said, the counter is closed. She didn't know why I was asking her. I was looking at salvation. Praise the Lord. I said, so if anybody come now, he said, they don't know the time when they're supposed to be here. But he has a visa. But he has a ticket. He has a confirmation. But he's supposed to know when to be at the airport. And it is written there. And you lose that flight. You lose it. You lose it. You lost that particular flight. So if there's another flight later on, you can come. But this particular one. And there's no two raptures. There's only one rapture. So there's no second chance anywhere. That's why. Keep diligence to make your calling and election sure. For many are called, but few are chosen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So don't joke with your salvation, especially those watching me from around the world, enter message believers. Don't relax that you have any chance anywhere. Work out your salvation, Apostle Paul says so, with fear and trembling. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't assume salvation, ensure salvation. If you have truly received the Holy Ghost, then the Holy Ghost can never make you to be foolish. It makes us to be wise. Praise God. I'm looking forward to seeing you in the rapture. God bless you. You may stand up.